Well, a very good day to you today, and welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond, and we're going to turn in God's Word this morning to find His good word for us today. All of God's Word is good. It is good for our teaching. It's good for the building up of the body. It's good for the building up of our faith. It is our spiritual food. We need to eat of God's Word on a very regular basis. Jesus, remember, said to the devil himself, when the devil tempted him to turn the stones into bread, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So, God's Word is our spiritual food, dear friend. Let's be sure we're feeding upon His spiritual food today. Well, as we begin a new year, let's go to Him in prayer. Father in heaven, thank You for today. Thank You for every blessing that You have given to us. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us. And Father, as we begin a new year, we just request of You that You be our strength, that You be Lord of our lives, Jesus, that You lead us and guide us in the paths of our Father, in the paths of righteousness. Father, live in us and work in us and work through us to do Your will for Your glory and for our good. Father, today as we open Your Word and read from it and study Your Word, we pray for Your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Speak through me, Father. Speak through me, Holy Spirit, that the words that I say today may not be just my own words, but may they be Your words, Father, spoken in me and spoken through me for the building up of the body of Christ, for the edification of us all. And Father, again, it's our desire that all things be for Your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, turn with me in your Bible today to Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to begin with that today, Revelation chapter 3. And this concerns, of course, the Laodicean church. Let's read it again. We studied this in our last session together, you will recall. The message of Jesus Christ to the church of Laodicea. And this is one of the seven churches, of course, that Jesus addresses in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And we believe that this represents the church of today. This represents the church of the last age, the last of the seven churches, the church of Laodicea. This is the church that feels that it has become rich and wealthy and has need of nothing. And if we have need of anything, we can supply it. We'll buy it. We'll buy us another staff member. We'll buy us another building. We will buy a new organ, a new piano, a new sound equipment. If we need anything, we'll buy it. We're rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. We'll just have a fundraising campaign and raise the money that we need within our church, you see. So this is thought by many Bible scholars to represent the church today, and to a great degree, I'm concerned that it may accurately represent the church in America today, the typical average church in America. Let's listen a moment. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of all creation of God, says this," and this is Jesus speaking, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And dear friend, let that be our prayer this morning, that we will have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit desires to speak to us today from His Word through this message. Well, dear friend, in our last session, we talked about this and we looked at the church of Laodicea, the attitude that it had, that it was rich and wealthy and really had need of nothing. You see, it was very self-sufficient. And I am concerned. I'm concerned. I'm not being critical, my friend. I have great concern for the typical church, the local church of today. You see, I've been a deacon and chairman of deacons. I spent about 20 years of my life in that area. And I spent about 20 years of my life also as a pastor. So I've seen from both sides. I've seen from a leadership role in the church, I've seen from a pastor's role in the church. And I'm viewing today and talking today with many pastors and many church members, and I like to ask the question of both pastors and church members, especially those church members that have leadership roles, leadership positions, a deacon, an elder within the church. I like to ask them the question, how's your church doing? And that's usually the only question you have to ask, and you begin to get an answer to that question. Oh, we're doing well. We're growing. We're in a building program. We've added new programs to our church. Usually the focus is on these kinds of things, physical kinds of measurement things. We have a tendency as human beings to measure our success in numbers. A bigger budget, a greater church membership, more in attendance. You know, these are indicators, of course, of how a church is doing, but we need to be very careful to not allow them to be the only indicators of how a church is doing. We are to grow as individuals in the church in Christ. And as the church here at Laodicea felt itself to be wealthy and rich and really having need of nothing, we find that the church of Laodicea had Jesus on the outside. For we find Jesus saying, "If anyone will open the door and allow me to come in, I will come in and have fellowship with that person." Now, it's amazing to find that Jesus is outside. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." Now, Jesus is speaking here to the church at Laodicea. And if we are to believe most Bible scholars, and I'm among those, that feel that this represents the church of this age, then it represents the typical church of today. The typical church that has excluded Jesus Christ. Now, that's an amazing thought. And you would, if you said that to most church members today, and certainly most pastors today, they would become indignant and say, we certainly have not excluded Jesus Christ. But you see, this church thought they had it all together. They just thought they were moving along smoothly. They were just meeting their budget, and they had growth in their membership, and they had a building program going, and they were adding staff, and they were adding programs to the church to meet the needs of the members. They just didn't have any need for anything. And yet, Jesus was on the outside. We must stop today, my friend, and ask the question in all seriousness. Is Jesus inside my church, or is he outside my church? Have we excluded Jesus? Have we become so busy in meeting goals, so busy in developing programs, so busy in meeting the needs of each member of every family and being sure that something is available for every person from the cradle to the grave, that we have excluded Jesus Christ? Is he standing outside our church building, knocking on the door? My friend, Jesus says, if anyone will open the door, I will come in. If someone will come and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, with that person. Anyone who opens the door to Jesus, Jesus is ready, willing to come in and to fellowship with that individual. But amazingly, here the church of Laodicea, having the attitude that it's just got things fine, having the attitude that it's rich and wealthy and has need of nothing, having the attitude that it has a wonderful program and things are just going along grandly, Jesus is outside. Jesus is excluded from the church. Now, my friend, I'd like to begin today examining some questions that are challenges for today's church. I'd like to title this series of messages that will be forthcoming, The Challenges for Today's Church. Now, one of the greatest challenges is represented right here by the fact that the church has the attitude that we are rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. And Jesus says you don't realize that you're wretched, that you're actually poor, and he's speaking spiritually, of course, that you're naked, your raiments, your works are like filthy rags. You need my robes of righteousness. You need to come to me in humble repentance and let me clothe you in my robes of righteousness. You need spiritual salve put on your eyes that you may have your eyes opened and realize that you've got me outside the church, that I can't even come in, that I am knocking on the door asking for you to let me in to my church. Now, Jesus says, repent of this. In verse 19 of chapter 3 of Laodicea, he says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, he is reproving this church, and he is disciplining this church because it's excluded him from the church. Now, let's honestly examine ourselves. Let's honestly examine our church, of which we are a part, and see if this might apply to us. You see, in today's church, we have fallen, I'm concerned, that we have fallen into a trap of the devil. Here's one of his best traps to catch us. He is perfectly satisfied. The devil is perfectly satisfied for us to be focusing upon the good if, in so doing, he is able to blind us to the best. Now, let me say that again, because that's so important to us personally, and it's so important to us in the church today. The devil is going to be perfectly satisfied to see us focusing upon the good, if in so doing, he is able to blind us to the best. Now, the best is always found in God. The best is always found in Jesus Christ, you see. Now, let's examine for a moment. There is a challenge to us in the church today to focus upon the best rather than upon the good. There is a challenge, first of all, for us to focus upon Jesus Christ rather than things about Jesus Christ. There is a tendency today for us to focus upon the teachings of Christ, and we put together the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the Bible, especially the New Testament, in the form of a code or a moral code for us to live by, or a philosophy for us to live by. My friend, Christianity is far, far more than a philosophy or a moral code to live by. You see, if we adopt the teachings of Jesus and say, this is our example, and we're going to live by this example, then we are focusing on the good and missing the best. Now, what I mean by that is we need to be focusing upon Christ rather than just the teachings of Christ, the teachings of the Bible. You say, well, isn't it the same thing? Aren't we focusing on Christ by focusing upon his teachings? No, we're not. We're falling short, my friend. You see, truth is Christ. Listen to me. Truth is not just in Christ. Truth is not something just to be obtained from Christ. Truth is Christ. So if we have truth, we have Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Salvation doesn't come from Christ. Salvation is in Christ. He is our salvation, my friend. We live and we move and we have our being in Christ Jesus. Paul said that in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. In him I live and move and have my being. In him, in him, in him, in Christ. Now here we have the Laodicean church pictured, you see, as excluding Christ. Now Christ, my friend, is the head of the church. Now if you have a church, a local church, and Christ is outside that church, we have decapitated the body of Christ. And a body without the head is dead, my friend. There may be a lot of activity in such a church, but the church without Jesus Christ as its head is dead. Now let's examine ourselves. Let's examine our local churches, our local church that we attend. And let's honestly evaluate. Let's ask ourselves the question, are we like the Laodicean church? Do we think we have it made? Do we think we've arrived? Do we think our church is the best one around? Do we think our programs are better than any other? Is there a sense of pride in our church and our program? Do we own it, you see? Is it our ministry or is it God's ministry? Is it our church or is it God's church? Is a leader of the church the head? Is the pastor of the church the head? Or is Jesus the head of the church? I'm asking some questions that are serious. I'm asking some questions we need to honestly evaluate and answer and see where our focus is within the church. Our focus needs to be not just on the teachings of Christ. Our focus needs to be on Christ. We don't need to give Christ just lip service. We need to have our focus truly on him. We need to be looking at him as the head of the church. and not a human being, my friend. Pastor, don't consider yourself the head of the church. Jesus is head of the church. You may say, well, that's just playing with words. You know, there's got to be somebody in charge in the local church. Yes, there does. And that needs to be Jesus. He needs to be in charge. I read a book just, well, some time ago, actually, now, that was talking about a pastor who really did this. He knelt, he got exasperated and exhausted in trying to run the church, and he came to the realization that he was running it into the ground. And he knelt and he said, I abdicate the headship of the church and I turn it over to you, Jesus. I give the headship of the church to you. Christ is head of the body. Christ is head of the church. Now, the Bible makes that very clear to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, for example, verse 22, let's just look at it very carefully. It's talking about Jesus Christ, and God has exalted Jesus Christ far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And then in verse 22, and he, that is God, has put all things in subjection under his feet, the feet of Christ, and gave him, Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If we turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 15, we have these words, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And then if we turn on over to Ephesians chapter 5, some verses we read a lot at weddings. Wives, be subject to your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. And then in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle and any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless before him. And if we go on over to the little letter of Colossians, the letter of Paul to the church at Colossae, we find these words in chapter 1, verse 18. Well, let's back up to 17. No, let's go back to verse 15. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 15. And he, speaking of Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 3, states that Christ is the exact representation of God. Jesus said often, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 16 continues, for by him, that is by Christ, all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, in Christ Jesus. So Christ is head of the church. Now, the church is used in two ways in the New Testament. The way we're hearing it here in Ephesians and Colossians is the body of believers. The body of believers. Yes, there is a universal church. There is a body of Christ. There is one body. There's not many bodies. There is only one body, you see. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, there is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So there is one body, not many. There is one body of Christ, there is one head of the body, and that is Jesus Christ himself. Christ is head of the church. If we acknowledge anyone as being head of the church other than Christ, then we have a two-headed monster, you see. Christ is head of the church. Now again, in the church of Laodicea, if this represents the church of this age, then we have a representation by Christ himself. He is saying, you've excluded me from the church. Not only have you dethroned me from being the head of the church, you've put me on the outside, and I'm on the outside knocking on the door of the church and asking you to let me in. Now remember what I said earlier. It's so astounding. I need to say it again. We need to think about it. We need to pray about it. The devil is going to be perfectly satisfied for you and me and your church and my church to focus upon the good, good moral teaching, good principles of Jesus Christ, if in so doing, he can succeed in deceiving us and hiding us and keeping us from the best. Now, the best is Christ himself. The good is his teaching. The good is Christian principles here. The good is good moral living. But the best is Christ. Christ is head of the church. The church is the body. You're part of the body individually. Your local church, your local assembly is also part of the body of Jesus Christ, of which he is the head. Now, I spoke a moment ago that there are two contexts in which the New Testament uses the term church. In these contexts here, in Ephesians and Colossians, we're talking about the universal church, the universal body of Christ, made up of all who believe in Jesus, all who trust in him, all who receive him as Lord and Savior, all who are born again into the family of God, all who become children of God, you see. That's the universal body of Christ, and Christ is the head of that body. Now, there is the local church, the local assembly, the ecclesia, the called out ones. We have the seven churches here in Revelation to whom Christ asked John to write the letters. He dictated letters for John to send to the churches, and we're focusing upon the seventh church, the church of Laodicea, and what God wanted written through Jesus Christ to the church. So Jesus dictated the letter to John, and Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is saying to the Laodicean church, you've got your focus all wrong. You think that you are wealthy, rich, and have need of nothing. You do not know that you are wretched and poor and blind and naked. Now, this is quite a contrast, isn't it? Does this represent the church of today? Does it represent your church? Have you the correct focus of your church upon Christ? When we remove the person of Christ from his principles, from his teachings, then we have simply left a good philosophy, a moral doctrine, a moral teaching, but without the power. When we remove Christ from the church, we're removing the head of the church. And what we have left is a dead church. Now, it may think it's really alive. It may think it's really got good things going. It may think it's rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. But Jesus said, you don't recognize the truth. The truth is, you're wretched and miserable and blind and naked. You're poor. You're poor spiritually. How about you? How about your church today? Where is the focus of your church? Is the focus upon Christ, the person of Christ? Is He exalted? Are you focused on Him? Is your purpose to give Him glory? Everything you do, everything you say, to give Him glory? Is your purpose to be surrendered to Him, to allow Him to be Lord of your life, Lord of your church, head of your church? He is the head of the church, my friend. We need to acknowledge Him as head of the church. Not just acknowledge His teaching, not just acknowledge Christianity as a philosophy or as a doctrine, but the person, Jesus. He's the one whom we need to focus on. He's the one whom we need to acknowledge as head of the church. He's the one whom we need to acknowledge as Lord of my life personally, and you need to acknowledge Him as Lord of your life personally. We need to crucify self, and we need to enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can say with the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I who lives, but Jesus Christ who lives in me and through me. Are you focused upon Jesus? Is our church of today focused upon the person, the headship, the lordship of Jesus Christ? In order to be correct, we must be focused upon Jesus. The focus of our church must not be a building program or an entertainment program or anything else other than the person of Jesus, the lordship of Jesus. That's where our focus needs to be. Now, in the coming sessions, we will be examining some other challenges of today's church, such as focusing upon Jesus Christ, focusing upon worship rather than upon serving one another. Oh, my friend, let's look at the church. Let's examine the church in light of what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea here in Revelation chapter 3. Is He Lord of your life? He needs to be. Is He Lord of your church? Is He head of your church? He needs to be. This is a good word from God's Word today, and I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.